Get ready for the Ocelli effect.
I'm a big fan of the show.
Chuck Ocelli, and he's been known for many years as a blind JFK researcher specializing in intelligence agency involvement in multiple assassination, propaganda, and other global criminal operations in the 20th and 21st centuries.
Your listeners are extremely fortunate to have you, and everybody at AFR I know loves you, man.
We should learn from our relatively recent history, my brother. That's where I'm coming from. I'll say all power to the people.
And now, the most underrated voice in all media. The alternative, Chuck Ocelli.
28th day of November 2016, according to that thing we call a calendar. This is the Ocelli Effect, broadcast live, originating from American Freedom Radio at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Anyway, it is a Monday, and of course, this is the Monday after the weekend in which we got told that Cuban leader Fidel Castro actually finally died, despite the best efforts of the CIA, various other individuals over the past many decades. He actually finally died. And people are still telling us there are conspiracy theories about that, because of the timing of Fidel's death. And really, people, eventually, sometimes people die, by the way. Anyhow, aside from that, what do we have? Well, let's see. Today we had a terrorist attack, allegedly, or at least that's what the MSM is telling you, and anybody who is completely paranoid over the Islamo-fascist boogeyman is going to tell you as well that we have had yet another ISIS-inspired attack, because some kid apparently went a little bit crazy at Ohio State with a car and, hey, a butcher knife. Well-organized and inspired attack for an international terrorist group, I imagine. Anyway, look, not going to get into that too deeply. Shall we talk about the draining of the swamp, where I guess the technique is to dump more of the swamp into the swamp? Yeah, D.C., the Trump transition. You know we'll touch on that. Anyway, I had a different idea for tonight's show, but I've decided to go into a different direction because of a cancellation and a few other interesting things that popped up hours before the show. Mondays, normally I have Sherry Wisdom with me. That is going to change. Now, tonight Sherry will be with me in the second hour, and she's doing that as a favor because I wanted somebody to talk to about a certain topic. But the fact is that from now on Mondays on this show, my co-host will actually be Barry Prince. That's right, the guy who hosts The Big Puzzle, the guy who is on, I can't remember the name of the network that he's on at the moment, but I've got to tell you that he's waiting for Shake and Wake Radio to get back up and running. Of course, Barry can tell us all about what network he's on and a couple other things, and I certainly want the Canadian perspective, because apparently, you know, we don't have a monopoly on stupidity here in the alleged united, currently occupied so-called states of the artist formerly known as America. No, we do not have a monopoly on stupidity here. Apparently north of the border, well, maybe it's just damn well contagious, or maybe just like South Park said, the Canadians ought to build a wall to keep us out and then get pissed off and abandon their own country, run over here and then go back. And then, of course, Garrison runs for president apparently in the new season, but I don't have TV. Barry Prince.
That was a mouthful.
Sorry,
hey,
well,
you man. Know, walls can be, well, walls, you know, walls can be kept to build, to keep people out, and they can also be built to keep people in, Chuck. So, we shouldn't forget that walls are meant to keep people in as well as keep people out. So, beware of the wall.
Beware of, you know what, that should be
beware
the new hashtag.
Beware of the wall.
Beware of the wall. And by the way, you know, strangely enough, I call for phone callers on this show all the time, and I didn't even announce the number yet, and I have a couple of people already on the board. 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525 is the number, by the way. And just one more housekeeping duty before, Barry, I just let you run, because I know you've got some stuff to say. Few things. I want to say thanks to the members at Ochelli.com, Elias, DK, Mosier, and Seth B. You know what? I'm going to name some of you guys as executive producers. Tonight, it is your three in a co-executive producer role. Tonight, it's your three's turn to do so. So I wanted to get that out there, and I also wanted to say that I'm going to leave this open to discussion. I have ideas, and I wanted Barry to vent, even though he's kind of showing up to do me a favor because I told him that next week he would be starting co-hosting with me. And believe me, the graphic and everything else will show you, and Monday will be Barry's night. Who knows what that's going to look like post-weekend after we're both kind of wrapped up in God knows what. And who knows? You know, maybe we'll hear more what the big puzzle really sounds like. Because it's a little different when you're my co-host, Barry. You know, I love having you as a guest and as a discussion partner all the time anyway. So people are used to hearing you if they're used to hearing this show. However, a lot of times we do wind up discussing American politics. And I know that there's, well, I guess there's a political game in Canada, too. So you want to talk about that?
God. Yeah, I'm gonna keep my blood pressure down. Of course, I'm gonna really try because what we see going on with Trudeau up here, I'll tell you, Canadians are say they're getting a little bit riled would be an understatement. I mean, if you listen to what he said about Castro's death yesterday, man, it was just like, oh my God, he was talking about Castro like he was the greatest thing that ever walked the planet Earth, and the whole world should be in mourning over the death of this guy. But actually, I listened to what Trump had to say about Castro, and Trump nailed it on the nose, whether that's by design or not, Chuck, but he really nailed it on the nose, and he called Castro exactly what it is. And anybody that's looked into Castro and knows anything about him and his background and what he's done to the Cuban people since he's been the dictator of that country for, what, 60 some odd years now, it's appalling. It really is. So anybody that tells you that Castro's a nice guy is definitely in beds with Fidel. Getting away from issue. Yeah.
Here's the funny thing, Barry. Not a nice guy, and I hear you, but to consider what it is he overthrew, the Batista regime, fact is, here we go, folks. Castro was the lesser of two evils in Cuba, so, yes, believe it or not, he was the lesser of two evils, supported by the people, supported by general popular consent, a populist leader who actually provided. Now here we go. Barry's starting to cringe and saying, wait a minute, is Chuck going to defend Castro? No, hold on.
I know exactly where you're going with this, Chuck. Go ahead. I know exactly where you're going.
No, but he was definitely beloved. He gave people. Now healthcare is free. In Cuba, the standard of living did change in Cuba under Fidel's regime. But to tell you the truth, it seemed like, hey, listen, if you cooperate and you get involved in the economy and we're going to take things away from United Fruit and Sugar Company and all these CIA fronts who have been, you know, doing nothing but glomming off of us for years and years. And we're going to take away the foreign business interests and all of these foreign invaders that cause us problems and all that.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah,
where have we heard that lately, Chuck?
So put it in perspective, though. I mean, you do know about the Batista regime, right, Barry?
I'm a little bit familiar with it, Chuck. Probably not as informed about it as you are, but I'm aware of the fact that he was the worst of two evils. But how can we embrace somebody that's evil as evil, and then you got evil? I mean, where do we draw the line? What about a good guy?
Right, which you know, was like my real question. Good guy. Which was my question in America this year. How about not which one's better? How about we ask for something better aside from this? You know, but I'm a crazy man, Barry. Go ahead. Good. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
You're not crazy, Chuck, because you know what? I mean, honestly, I said this to you before. The more I look at Trump and what he's doing and everything about him, and I started looking into his background a little bit and his ties and who he's tied in with. Well, you know what? Really, what do we have? We have just another face on the same agenda. And I honestly believe that now. I think he's misled a lot of Americans. Same thing as Obama did prior to his election. Ramp them up, talk, tell them anything they want to hear to get elected. And when you get into power, things will change. And I think you're going to see the same thing with Trump. So, Alexander Wall definitely wanted this guy that he was for real, but.
And look at this, electronic interference, the moment that Barry is starting
the
to compare.
The more I read the picture, he fits their agenda pretty close.
This is so funny. Barry starts
exactly
to point
what
out.
What they want to do right now. The whole
Barry starts to point out the corruption.
Right now,
the corruption in Trump and his and his Skype is your Skype is cracking up, Barry. I don't know
imagine
if you can hear me.
That.
Because we compared Trump. I'm telling you, man, this is going to be the new normal. Hopefully my Skype is not cracking up for you guys listening. But, yeah, here we go. Oh, man. I don't know what the problem is.
You know what it is? What it is, Chuck, is we didn't say hello to those guys tonight when we first started the show. We should, because I think they're feeling a little left out right now. So,
Right. Barry, would you like to do
Mr. CIA and NSA guys, I hope you are listening tonight, and I hope that we can open up a few portals in your brain and really kind of show you exactly who you're being played for and what you're being played for. It's not too late to correct the situation, guys. So welcome to the Acelio Effect.
Yes, thank you very much. We do appreciate you listening in Langley and other underground facilities where you may be monitoring the electronic communications of people that are allegedly actually expressing their free speech rights in this country and abroad. We do appreciate you. And, of course, Barry is a Canadian citizen, so I'm very sure that you guys by now do have some sort of NSA sort of, facility that will be monitoring you as well. So who knows? Maybe we have more than one government agency, you know, jamming up the works tonight. So anyway, Barry, continue with your thoughts, though, aside from saying hello to some of our most loyal listeners. Thank you.
Well, you know, hey, buddy, I've been watching Trudeau very, very closely. I monitor everything this guy's doing. And to say that he's like a snake in the grass would be an understatement. The Canadian government, their wisdom, Chuck, of course, Canadians are out of work, and there's thousands of us that are suffering right now, and people can't get jobs, and people are homeless in Canada. But in their wisdom, they decided to send $26 million of our taxpayers' money to an organization in Palestine that has undeniable, unreputable direct ties to Hamas and ISIS. I mean, Trudeau is really, really starting to show his colors, and the fact that he is taking millions and millions of our dollars and sending it offshore sounds like something your president was doing quite a bit in the last 8 years, doesn't it, Chuck? Doesn't it sound like the exact same agenda? Well, it is, buddy. Trudeau is really, really riling up Canadians, and they're really starting to see who this guy is and what exactly he is. If you look into Trudeau's history, and I know I'm being listened to, and I don't care, Chuck, they can come and kill me anytime they want, because that's the only way they're ever going to shut me up. But I know for a fact that if you look into Trudeau's history, you'll find out that the guy is a professed Muslim. So where is his loyalty is going to go, becomes prime minister of this country. And we look at what the liberals are doing. We look who's gotten involved in the liberal caucus. The direction the government's going really, really shocks me. It's shocking a lot of Canadians right now. A lot of Canadians are waking up to it, Chuck.
So, yeah, well, that happens eventually, it seems.
Yeah, it's just how many times do we have to get slapped before we see it?
Well, I'm cracking up because I don't know if you paid attention to some of the particulars here, but you know, look, I'll give you the volley back from the American side, right? You know, Trump, who's supposed to be the agent of change, right? And he's going to bring his truth and all that stuff. You know, he's rather impressed with a guy named Petraeus. interesting. Because, you know, Petraeus essentially, through mishandling his classified documentation and stuff like that, got himself canned as CIA director. Of course, previous to that, he was the author of The Surge, as the military general that he was. But, you know, if people study his record rather carefully, I have witnesses tying him directly to stuff going on in South America years and years before, during the cocaine importation activities and weapons exchange activities and support of the Contras and all of that other wonderful stuff, because the Sandinistas had to be destroyed down there all throughout Central and South America. It's interesting. This guy is tied to those. And meanwhile, what happened to the swamp? Well, like I said, I guess if you dump enough swamp into a swamp, eventually it becomes something else. I hope everybody's happy with it. But back to Trudeau. Barry? You know, this guy happily gave you. Yeah, go ahead.
I screamed at Canadians about this guy before he was elected, you know, Chuck. I did. I screamed at everybody. I said, you know, you guys, are you guys for real? I mean, the guy's a college dropout. He was a bouncer in a bar 10 years ago. All of a sudden, he comes out of nowhere, is all of a sudden the leader of the Liberal Party, and all of a sudden, he's the prime minister of our country. Yet he is an absolutely clueless wonder. If you ever really asked him a serious question about anything, he'd be stuck. If it wasn't for his teleprompter, he would be absolutely screwed. I mean, I've listened to the guy in one two-minute speech, Chuck. In one two-minute speech, he went, 27 times. Two-minute speech. It's like, I think we're going to, tomorrow, wait a second. Where's my teleprompter, guys? Somebody put up the next line for me, please, because I'm screwed. No, it's just a joke. He really is. All he is, Chuck, is a pretty face that he can't even talk. I was going to say a pretty face that can talk, because usually that's all it takes for a politician to get elected. A pretty face is a really good liar and can talk, but this guy, all he is a pretty good, is a pretty face. Maybe the girls like him, blah, blah, blah. And his dad was supposed to be a great prime minister. Well, my God, Chuck, if people ever really looked into who Pierre Elliott Trudeau was and what he was and what he did to this country, you'd see that his son is just carrying on what dad did, and he's doing a good job.
Well, after all, you know, it does seem as though he's like working.
Father like son.
Well, yeah, and like father like son for sure. And, of course, he is actually doing his duty by working with his U.S. allies. If he's contributing money to ISIS, after all, who actually created it? Well, I wouldn't blame Barack Obama directly. But I would say that, you know, there were many others who were allegedly working on behalf of the United States that contributed to it. I mean, after all, you and I have both interviewed Frank Gregory Ford, who, well, quite honestly, unbeknownst to him, actually had the head of ISIS in his possession at one point, you know, before he was the head of ISIS, you know, before they were rock stars, right? The thing is, this guy was in our prison system, a known quantity to us, a player in the intelligence services in Iraq. This Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, I have to slow down to say it properly. And the deal is, this guy was in Camp Buka. He was also at Abu Ghraib at one point, and he was literally in the possession of military intelligence. Oddly enough, you know, I mean, so, you know, if Trudeau is funding and helping out, I mean, after all, he's doing his good American duty. Wait a minute. He's a Canadian. But, you know, after all, you know how it goes. I mean, as America goes, Canada must eventually follow, except when it comes to gun laws. Outside of that, right?
Yeah, I wish we had – I wish our gun laws were a little bit more lenient up here, actually, because you guys have way better access to firearms than we do, and I wish I could pack a .38 on my waist. But all that being said, Trudeau is really, like I said, Chuck, he is being scrutinized and really starting, people are paying attention to what he's doing, because he's basically, well, just any other politician, every promise that he made getting elected, he basically has broken. I don't think there's maybe one was his legalization of the cannabis plant. Of course, we don't call it marijuana, but even that he's backpedaling on due to the stance of the United Nations against this plant. So he's backpedaling on that. They're delaying that, blah, blah, blah. Typical. Everything he's done is what I kind of expected he would do, Chuck. And I kind of screamed at my fellow Canadians about it, but they all thought I was crazy. But a lot of them don't think I'm so crazy anymore, man. This guy is really a class A snake in the grass.
Well, and that's how you ascend.
Don't like him at all. Yeah, of course. Of course. He's going right to the top, man. I mean, he's taking care of his family and his concerns in the future. He doesn't have to worry about anything, and he's doing exactly what they want him to do, and he's doing a very good job. But Canadians are waking
up. Well, but look, at the end of the day, though, all of these at the end of the day, all these guys who are allegedly the heads of countries, nations, whatever the corporate name is at the moment, are really just subsidiaries of Greater Global Corp, and they do what their bosses tell them. You know, so it's no big shock. This guy can't talk. Okay, well, we had a guy like that before Obama. Obama at least knows how to improv a little bit. I mean, he is mostly on the teleprompter, but you can't say that this guy is not the king of eloquence compared to the guy we had before. You know, W.
No, he's been trained well. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, he's been trained well. He's been packaged well, and it worked, right? It worked. It sold hope and change to people who really were honestly disenfranchised and angry with the system and all that. You know, so it's fascinating to me to watch this happen. Now, in Canada, though, you got to say this, man. One thing that is undeniable. On this side of the border, it's a whole lot more entertaining, isn't it?
You definitely have more things going on down there than we do up here, Chuck. I'll give you that.
See, and notice I don't drop another comment on it. I just say it's more entertaining, right? it makes my head hurt. It really does. I mean, it's just it's so sad that I'm still getting this crap. You know, it's amazing to me that I'm still getting this nonsense. I mean, I know you're paying attention to some of these things, but let's enlighten the listeners. I mean, what is the last thing you heard? I'm sure that you caught the news flashes about the alleged terrorist attack in Ohio and all that. But let's put that aside for a moment. You know, what is the last thing you heard from the Trump transition circus? But I mean, I informed you about Petraeus just now, if you hadn't heard that before. But I mean, what else have you heard?
Actually, you know what? The last couple of days, I haven't been following the circus a lot. I've been following a bunch of other stuff, Chuck. But maybe you can bring me more up to date exactly what's going on there in the last couple of days. But I know he's made a few announcements there in the last couple of weeks that have people looking the side of their face going, what is this guy doing?
Well, I love
even
it.
Considering John Kerry. I mean, John Kerry for position. So that's a pretty scary situation in itself that really speaks volumes about what the guy's really thinking, doesn't it?
Well, John Kerry doesn't quite frighten me so much as but listen, let me put this all into a real quick summation. The way I see it is we're looking at the lightning round of The Apprentice, where instead of filling four jobs, I mean, instead of filling one job in – oh, I don't know, 6 or 8 weeks or 10 weeks or whatever episodes he had to work with there. Instead of doing that, we now have 24/7 lightning round apprentice where 4,000 positions must be filled. And meanwhile, in case it's not good enough, in sweeps weeks, we'll get probably the Supreme Court filled by a guy who can't seem to figure out that it might be a bad idea to use a guy like Mitt Romney in his cabinet. who thinks that maybe David Petraeus is impressive? Wow. You know, I mean, and here's the funny thing too. I love this. And this made me stop and drop my pen when I was trying to take a couple of notes about this earlier today. And I do actually just physically use a pen and a piece of paper to take notes. Yes, I do. I was doing that and I heard these words come out of a Trump surrogate mouth that Mitt Romney bothers him as somebody, and meanwhile, this is a guy who's on Trump's team, right? It's not just a critic, but somebody who's on Trump's team is sitting there saying, you know, I can't see how it is that President-elect Trump would work with Mitt Romney because he is, quote, an egomaniac. Hmm. Mitt Romney is the egomaniac, in case you guys missed this in the description. Are you hearing me? Mitt Romney is an ego. Okay, fine. I understand. And Petraeus is just an amazing thought right there. I mean, you know, okay, Rudy Giuliani, and you obviously can't have Governor Krispy Kreme in there because if you do that, you know, you might actually have somebody who prosecuted your son-in-law's father or whatever, all of that. I get it. You know, there must be a loyalty clause, which is really interesting because anybody who has even the remotest chance of having any sort of foreign policy experience has either been slammed by Trump or slammed Trump, you know, over the past year and a half. So I don't know who he's going to get as real foreign policy advisors. Okay.
Barney the elephant, maybe.
maybe. You know, he might have to reach into the Simpsons and get himself some ideas here, because it gets even stranger.
It is, Chuck. You know what? I mean, how do we describe American politics right now? I can't. I kind of look at it and I go, there's so much chaos in so many different directions that they want you to go looking in that you can't really get on the right track. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because there's so much going on inside of government, so much crap that is going on that should actually have these guys in jail. Why Hillary Clinton isn't being indicted, we have no idea, but we do know why. American people are waking up to that. I kind of look at it right now, and I'm kind of trying to figure it all out, Chuck, and it's just like, it's a schmozzle. It really is. I've never seen anything like this before in my life. And it's got to be done by design. It's got to be done to keep us like in a complete state of kind of scrambled brains, you know, sunny side up all the time.
Well, this. But let me continue with a couple other.
Is that making sense to you? Because
it does.
It kind of makes sense to me, but I hope it makes sense to you.
I just want people to accept that it's more of the same. Now, why do I say this? The former president of BB&T Bank is what he's thinking of using as his Secretary of Treasury. That's cute. Meanwhile, you know, listen, he amuses himself by tweeting. I love that, but he's tweeting out things like millions of votes were cast illegally. Now, here's the thing that I find interesting. Nobody wants him to kick over that bee's hive. I really want to see him continue to slam on this whole illegally cast votes nonsense. You know why? Because both sides, you see, the idea that there is Democrat versus Republican, they're both in that together. The Republicans were purging people. We talked about it before the election, exactly which states that the Republicans were purging people, gerrymandering, all kinds of stuff to play around with the vote so that, see, Trump thinks that he won even bigger. And he's saying, you know, I won the popular vote too. They stole that from me. If I'm him, I shut up, because really, if we get down to the legitimacy, who knows who the hell actually won? And you know, here I am almost sounding like I'm going to defend him. Be quiet, Donald. You're not making sense. You're kicking over the bee's hive and you're going to get stung. Okay, because you're going to find out that a lot of your vote was stolen too. And listen, if we remove all the illegal votes, I mean, what would there be left to count? Come on. I mean, millions. And the other thing is, millions of people voted more than once. There have been like 3 cases of actual voter fraud, by the way, and you ought to use the right term. Vote fraud is different than voter fraud, first of all. Voter fraud has only been prosecutable like 3 times in the past, I don't know, 20 years. Okay. Meanwhile, we have all sorts of, yeah, is it a rigged system? Sure it is, but you won in the rigged casino. Why are you bitching? This is what cracks me up. And this makes me not say, this is great, and look at him exposing. This makes me say, how much of an egomaniac. Here. You know what? We might be having Skype issues all over the place. I guess Donald Trump's transition. Yeah, I think the transition.
They don't want us to talk.
Exactly. The transition team at the NSA. Okay. The transition team at the NSA for Camp Trump is apparently not happy about these types of things being discussed. So I guess new keywords go out and here we go. God help us. Anyway. Why would you complain about this? Well, is it because you're so much of an egomaniac that you needed more of a resounding victory than what you got? And if that's the case, what else could be pushed via ego for him to make wild public statements later on? Listen, even if a country surrenders, well, you didn't surrender good enough. You know, you didn't declare us victors across all of your across all of the world's internet facilities. So therefore, we're going to keep bombing you. I mean, I wonder about that mentality, Barry. I really do. Jill Stein is asking for a recount, which is her legal right to do, and she's paying for it in one state.
Right.
Let her do it. It's irrelevant anyway. End of story. And if you really want to uncover how much of this is illegitimate, the whole thing is, what's the difference? You know, it's like sitting there and saying, gee, that dead man is awfully bruised up. And therefore, that's the big issue. Well, it might be the issue as to how he got dead, but it doesn't mean that it's the issue really, because none of it counts except for the fact that he's a corpse already. And let's just declare it now. The electoral system in this country, the voting system, the alleged representative government via this idiotic process is a sham and a farce, period. So whether you won or you lost, listen, Hulk Hogan beat the Iron Sheik many a time. It doesn't mean that the Iron Sheik couldn't have beat his ass in a alleyway. Okay, the reality. All right. This is the setup, folks. That's all it is. Anyway, Barry, hopefully your Skype is now in one piece. Go ahead.
I got about maybe a tenth of what you said here in the last 10 minutes. Chuck, it's been going in and out, in and out, in and out. And if people don't think we're being interfered with, then they ain't doing their homework, because they're definitely up here and there. And I got little bits of what you said, buddy. That was it. So to say it's annoying would be an statement. And I don't know how much you're hearing of me, but that whole talk you did, I got about maybe a tenth of it. I don't know if it's coming through on the air or not, but.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? We're probably having troubles on both ends.
Oh, God. I'm sitting here going, what did he say? How can I reply?
All right. You know what? We're having troubles on both ends. Okay. Listen, now let's see if we can fix it. I promise I won't bring up the CIA drug connection again. I'll let it go. I'll leave Petraeus's name out of it, if that's okay. All right, and Mr. NSA electronic interference guy. Okay.
Yeah, I started my Obama fan club today, guys. It's on YouTube under Barry's Obama's fan club. And I'll have you know that I sent my money off to the Democratic Party there to support Hillary in a bid to try and get back in here as president. I'm really upset about what happened. And besides that, I think Hillary was the one, but unfortunately she didn't get there. My family's devastated over this. We had to actually go do some trauma counseling over that. I mean, I just can't understand how that woman didn't win, Chuck. Go ahead.
And 80% of the interference, 80% of the interference just disappeared on your end, Barry. So here we go. Let's try another experiment. How about this? Donald Trump is going to fix America. I know he's going to fix America, and I know Crooked Hillary and Lying Ted aren't going to be the solution, but this man knows how to make a deal. So I know he's going to fix America. Was that clear?
We are building a wall. We're building a wall, and Mexico is going to pay for it.
Yay, Donald.
How are we doing?
Nice. I'm getting you now. Okay, cool. So this is how you clear up Skype interference when you're trying to do a radio show. Cool. All right. Awesome.
Anyways, all joking aside, I was kind of, one of the things that, you know, of course, we never hear about on mainstream, Chuck, and it's never exposed, it, all the demonstrations that we're seeing around the planet right now. It's kind of like, holy smokes, every country I look at right now is having demonstrations. So it must be the month for demonstrations or something, because everywhere I'm looking, people are in the street, in not just in a couple thousands, like hundreds of thousands. In South Korea, they just had, 1.5 million people hit the street. Argentina, the same thing. We see it going on in Pakistan. We see it going on in Madagascar. We see it going on all over the place right now, man. Greece and Italy, massive demonstrations. The whole world seems like it's in chaos. Is this by design, Chuck, right now, or what's going on out there? Do you have any idea? Because, like I said, I've never seen this much chaos at this point. At one time on the planet. So what do you think about that? Where is that going?
You know, again, I think it's all a grand, massive distraction. What we are being distracted from, it is hard to say. There are there are shots being fired on multiple continents that we're not hearing about. We're no longer really hearing. You know, we get to hear about the the most grand false flag in the world. I do believe that, and you know I don't usually use the term false flag, but I'll tell you this. I'm starting to think that this entire selection process and this amped up sentimentality and all of this stuff that we're seeing emerge is just about the most wonderful false flag thing in the world. Now everybody says, what are you saying? All right. Here it goes. They're telling you that this is still your country. They're telling you that these are your representatives. They're telling you that you still have a say. They're flying your country's flag when it no longer belongs there. Get it? So it's the reverse false flag. And we are all under attack. How's that? Was that clear, Barry?
That was very clear, well, and I agree. I think we are under attack, but get the public to see that, Chuck. They're too busy watching American Idol, chasing Pokemon monsters.
Well,
MK Ultra mind control. Hey, listen, by the way, my son wants to get on with you here.
So, well, no. Absolutely, and look, we're always happy to hear from Michael Prince, because that's who's with you, right?
He's going to be over here in a few minutes, Chuck, actually.
Oh, okay. I thought he was already at your house.
No, he's going to be at 6 o'clock. He's coming over. But he mentioned me today. He wants to get on the radio with you again. So we'll have to get him in one of these days and have a chat.
No, absolutely. I love talking to Michael. It's great to hear younger people than myself who understand that the deck is loaded. You know, it's a great thing to get people to understand sooner in life, because after all, you know, when you get to a certain age, you're going to wind up checking out after just a little bit. And this guy has a longer run ahead of him where he can affect greater change. And in fact, the idea that this has come to these guys a lot sooner, I think, is part of the change being affected in and of itself. Now, we can just get even younger people, if we can get children to understand that, you know what, there is one narrative they teach us in the schools, there's one narrative that they try and teach us in the mainstream media, and then there is, well, many other narratives, but there is also something called reality. And if we can get them to the actual reality, not reality TV and not the post-truth reality that we live in at this point in time, but if we can get them to actually examine the world around them, understand, yes, the hazards and the horrors, but also to understand the beauty and the absolutely wonderful balance which has been provided by virtue of this planet's creation. If we could get them to understand that and understand that they, in fact, are a created, walking, talking, breathing, thinking, spiritual miracle, if we can get them to embrace that a whole lot sooner than we did, I got to tell you, I think that there'll be no choice but for the greater beasts of the grand corporations to bow down to them. And I look forward to knowing that maybe on another plane of existence, I'll get to witness it after I'm gone. But that's what I look forward to, is that day when there's so many of them, like your son and like the younger people that we've tried to educate over the years, that there is such a rising tide that it absolutely drowns every single one of these big beasts. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, Chuck. And on it, and in the heart to hearts that I've had with my son, you know, 3-4 years ago, he didn't have children. He didn't, you know, he was kind of like out there with the young people and partying and all that kind of stuff. But now he's got kids and he's kind of looking at what's going on the planet right now. And he spends a lot of time doing research now, and I kind of commend him for that. But, you know, he comes back to me all the time, Chuck, and he says, you know, Dad, this stuff is like, it's scary. Look, this is beyond, it's beyond scary. It's like, what are we going to do about all this? And I said, well, you know, all we can do at this point, Michael, is get educated and try and educate your fellow human beings. And if they have a heart and if they have a soul and they really do care about what's coming for their children, they'll get active. And I see him getting active, and he gets this when he talks to his young people, his friends there. He's, you know, he's got all these young buddies, and they're all, a lot of them are into these games and stuff, and a lot of them are, their whole life is focused around their gaming systems and their Friday night get together where they all sit around and play these stupid games, he kind of like starts talking to them, and they kind of look at him like sometimes he's a nutcase. But the more and more he's, in the last 3-4 months here, I've seen him really start to pay attention, and he's looking for solutions because we need him. We have so many problems that if we don't give people solutions to the problems while we're presenting the problems to them, it really looks like doom and gloom. But there is a lot of solutions out there.
Yeah, there certainly is, and we, yeah, we.
In shows, when I talk with you, Chuck, I like to talk about solutions because it's so many of them out there.
And listen, I like to talk about solutions too. I'd love to have a solution to this electronic interference tonight. That's for sure. But look, a great many things, and we are going to cover them in the weeks to come because Barry is going to be my co-host on Mondays, and hopefully you guys are hearing me as I speak now. he's going to be my co-host on Mondays, and that doesn't mean that Sherry Wisdom is entirely gone, by the way. She's going to be on Wednesdays. Okay, so this is the way it's going to go for a little bit, and I guarantee you that Barry and I are going to cover things like hemp, like alternative energy. We're going to cover, well, obviously, personal responsibility, the ability to critically think, you know, get back to that. How about if we abandon things like slave speak, which I am guilty of constantly, and I've got to work on that, by the way, I know. But factually speaking, we need to control our language, we need to control ourselves, and we need to reassert our right to be the natural beings that we are. One way or another. And I think that that's what we're going to talk about a lot on the Mondays with Barry. That's for sure. I'm sure that things like chaga mushrooms are going to come up. I'm sure that we're going to talk about cannabis in general, not just hemp. I'm sure that we're going to, discuss the American politico situation. I am sure that we're going to discuss international affairs. I'm sure that we're going to interview some interesting people. But the fact is that we're going to go more for the solutions. We may talk about the horror. We may talk about the illness, but we're also going to talk about the treatment and the cure. And that's what I'm looking at. And I'm not necessarily saying we're going to give you any sort of medical advice, although there may be some suggestions in there. I'm not going to say anything like that. I don't feel qualified enough to do so, but I will say that we're going to give you a lot to think about, and we're going to be moving in the direction of providing solutions, and that's one of the things that I want to make sure we focus on. Now, the only thing we have left to do, really, is you got to tell me if I'm supposed to use the picture of you with the two mushrooms or without on my template, because I got to put you in the little slot there as my co-host on Mondays. So what do you think? Should we picture you with the mushrooms, or are they going to outlaw those in Canada soon?
Well, they might, but, you know, in the meantime, sure, I kind of like love those two big buttons that we picked that morning, and that's a good picture. So fire that up there.
Absolutely. And you know what? I had phone callers on the line. They disappeared too. So it's just a communication breakdown nightmare for us tonight on the Ocelli Effect. Hopefully the disaster will not continue. But hey, you know what? I did forget, because I asked at the beginning, and who knows, maybe you did say it and the Skype kept you from being heard, or the NSA or whatever it is you call it in Canada, kept you from being heard. But you have a show on Wednesdays now on another network, probably a temporary kind of situation, but what's the name of that network?
These Changing Times, and it's Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I'm under the big puzzle, and I don't know if it's temporary or not. I mean, I might continue on doing shows. I'm waiting for our network to get back up, and hopefully Rick will be able to do that in the next little bit. Rick and Andy, of course, are really – Rick's really sick right now, guys. We all know that, and so prayers out to him tonight. And I'm looking forward to doing Monday nights with you, Chuck. They're one of the favorite people I get to talk with on the radio, and I know we get into some pretty good conversations. So I'm really looking forward to that. Solutions is something that we should and we will focus a lot on. But we have to make people aware of the problems before they understand that solutions are critical at this particular time, and they are. So I'm looking forward to it, Chuck. Should be fun.
Right, that's true. And in case somebody's keeping score at home, yeah, I realize that Barry's big puzzle on Wednesday starts when I'm only halfway done with my show. But look at it this way, guys. If my show sucks that night, you can always tune over to Barry and see if he sucks. Okay? There you go. So if you give me an hour and you're aggravated and you're sick of me, you can always tune over to Barry at those changing times, right? And, of course, we're looking forward to you getting back on Shake and Wake, like I said. And besides that, folks, there's another thing called podcasts and archives, so you can listen to both shows. I'm not afraid of somebody being on at the same time as me, just so everybody knows. You know, I just wanted to point that out. And, you know, like I said, if people wanted to call in, and the lines are open. We did lose. I think we lost the one guy I really wanted to talk to somehow because I wanted to get an update from the Dakota Pipeline and have somebody on the ground there. So if you're listening, man, call back in, and I will add you into the conversation as soon as you do. We'll stop everything to talk to you, okay, because that's getting wild. Have you been keeping track of that, Barry?
A little bit, but fill me in what happened. I know that there was something pretty significant happened down there today, Chuck, but I haven't been able to catch up on that. I've been following some of the earthquake activity and volcanic activity right now I'm seeing on the planet. But go ahead. Maybe you can fill me in on it a little bit, Chuck.
Well, the truth is today's events I'm not sure of, but I do know that the police are getting rougher. These guys who absolutely insisted on completely non-violent protest and resistance, they trained even newcomers that showed up. They trained them on how to take an arrest without inciting violence, and how to control themselves, and how to withstand things, protect yourself during a beating, everything. Okay, seriously, this is what they were instructing people to do, even if you just showed up. And then they would tell you, look, volunteer, because we'll put you in the prime position where you're probably going to take the arrest. And all that, well-organized, ready to go, these guys are. And fascinating to me that they have to do what? Start stepping it up, using the rubber bullets, using more tear gas, you know, actually starting to batter some of these people who are doing what? Legitimately upset that this corporate entity is just running roughshod over land that was promised to them, you know, after they were thoroughly slaughtered and degraded as a people. But, hey, another subject entirely. You know, how would you like it if they were starting to run pipelines through the graveyards of your grandparents? I don't think you'd dig it. It's just that simple. And, there's a lot more to this, obviously. And I wanted to get the live update, but, hopefully we'll be able to get him back. But, you know, it's over and over again. This is not the only pipeline. This is not the only situation, but it is amazing. I don't think that, even the peaceful protests, which are the only way to go, I will never abdicate violence for the sake of violence. I will always tell you that defending yourself is not violence. Okay, so you have a right, a need, and a duty to defend yourself and those around you if necessary. But to incite violence, I will never do. And these guys are not doing that. They are actively strategizing not to do so. And yet they're escalating, and they're using more and more of these wonderful weapons against them. So I do know that much. I don't know exactly what happened today. But, of course, why should we bother with that? Because we have so much other nonsense to take a look at. Well, you know,
we could be seeing the same situation in Canada here very shortly, because Texas oil giant Kinder Morgan wants to put a pipeline from Edmonton down to the coast strictly to ship raw oil through British Columbia territory with no benefit to the British Columbia people in any shape or form. But if a spill happens on that line, it'll decimate our environment. Of course, the Liberal government is, in their wisdom, apparently going to approve this next week. And if that happens, Chuck, you're going to see every Indian band in the line of that pipeline stand up against it. So we'll probably see the same situation unfolding in Canada here in the very near future.
So
corporatocracy running wild, buddy.
Yes, so it'll be Native Canadians instead of Native Americans getting shot with rubber bullets and getting handled the way they're getting handled in the Dakotas. Yeah,
that's coming.
Well, I hope not. I hate to see this kind of stuff go on. I'd like to see people resolve these things without having to go to this level. But then again, you know, these corporate interests, they don't really listen very well unless you do something drastic. So what can be said about it, right?
Well, exactly. How are we going to get them to listen to the people? I mean, outside of what we see going on right now, it seems like anything that people have to say is just falling on deaf ears, Chuck. He said corporatocracy is running wild. It's just getting out of control. And I say kudos to the people in North Dakota. I say kudos to anybody who stands up against the government.
Well, absolutely, man. This is an essential duty of anyone who wishes to even remotely remain free in these alleged lands, okay? This is something that must be done, and yeah, absolutely. Tip my hat to these guys, and you know, my heart is with you, even if my body is not. I have been present at some protests. I have not been in the deep thick of craziness yet, but you know, I can tell you about some 9/11 protests, and I could tell you about riots that took place in New York City that I was involved in, not as a rioter, mind you, but just because happened to be in my neighborhood where I was living at the time, and wasn't much I could do about it. And this is the pre-militarized police forces, by the way, in New York City. So, but believe me, beatings were still issued out there just as quickly, just as easily, even though their shirts were blue instead of black. And they didn't have body armor. They did have some shields, but not everybody had them, and they didn't have much body armor. So, you know, maybe a vest underneath the uniform that you didn't get to see, but they weren't coming out there looking like RoboCop. You know what I mean? It was a different story then. But anyway, all of that aside, Barry, you know, we're almost out of time because we had to fight with the electronics. Look at this. Yeah. We're almost out of time.
We just started. Hold on. You're right. Chuck, it's 5:51. Yeah. Holy shit. Oh, excuse my language. Okay. Okay. Yeah, well, listen, we'll get a 9/11 subject. We are going to talk about one night because, of course, it's one of the things that absolutely drives me insane that that lie is still being perpetrated on the American people and they haven't done anything about it yet. And JFK, you're a wide range of knowledge on that subject, and I don't have a great deal of knowledge, so some night you can yap about that. I got lots of people like to join us on the show, Chuck, so I'm kind of looking forward to it. It should be a fun Monday night going forward.
Absolutely. And look at it this way. We will take you out of the weekend and back into the surreal post-truth reality. That's the way it's going to go for the next little while anyway. Who knows what the future really holds, but I say we can do this for a while, Barry. And this way, you don't have to ask me when can I get back on a show, because for people who are listening who don't know this, Barry often says to me, I want to come on and I want to talk to you. It's only because I've got so many days a week that I do this, right? He's equally happy to have me on his show or to just talk to me off the air. But because I'm not, you know, very talkative off the air sometimes, Barry's all the time saying, when can I get on? Cause I want to talk about this, and always happy to bring me some of the very coolest people that he has. You know, Larry Woods came through Barry Prince. Quite honestly, Dana Dunford came through Barry Prince. There's a whole lot of other people actually that ended up on this show that Barry was responsible for in one way or another, because we're constantly in talks with each other, and I do appreciate every single contribution that you've made. And I think this is going to be even more interesting because who knows, maybe I'll bring something to the table and he'll bring something to the table. And I think this will be an interesting experience going forward. And, you know, after all, since you're going to be more entertained in the new America, in the post-truth America, you might as well be a little more entertained on Mondays here on the Ocelli Effect. So anyway, Barry, I do appreciate you joining me because we weren't going to start doing this tonight. We were going to start next week, but circumstances arose, and I know that you took a little bit of special time out for me tonight, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I went and played hockey today, and I come home from hockey, Chuck, and my body hurts, so I take this medicinal thing that I got in this little syringe, it's kind of black stuff, right? And I put a little bit in the end of my finger, and I put it on my tongue, and about a half an hour later, I feel no pain, but I've been kind of floating around here for the last hour or so. Hopefully, I kept my feet on the ground enough to carry on a conversation with you. But
Well, listen,
I'm in outer space, right?
Well, listen, you're holding it together real well.
Paid from hockey.
That's beautiful. You're holding it together real well for being somebody who's not feeling any pain. And man, I got to applaud that right now because that is just beautiful. And quite honestly, this is exactly what you should be doing when you're in pain is utilizing something exactly like that as opposed to the crap from Big Pharma and all that other stuff. But anyway, Barry, it's amazing to have you on. I love you, man. And we are going to have a lot of fun on upcoming Mondays. Thanks again.
Have a good night, Chuck. Bye for now.
Absolutely. Stay tuned to American Freedom Radio. Sherry Wisdom and Dylan Wade are going to join me as the last minute conversation hands in the next hour. And your phone calls at 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525. Join me on the show and speak your piece and we'll deal with it from there. Stay tuned to American Freedom Radio. The Ocelli Effect will be right back.
Radio. You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Are you feeling embarrassed and stuck because you can't focus or concentrate? I have a confession to make. I spent years unable to think clearly, like I was in a fog. I was going through the motions, running my companies, and I hated feeling groggy and mentally sluggish. I couldn't get ahead like this. It's no secret, the powers that be want us dumbed down. Chemicals, fluoride, our brains are under siege and we are experiencing lower IQs. But now there's a weapon to fight back and win. Introducing DNA Evolve, a revolutionary breakthrough in a category of cognitive enhancers called nootropics. I've been using DNA Evolve and couldn't feel better. For me, it works. It feels great to get things done again and get ahead. Try a free sample for yourself at DNAEvolveSample.com. That's DNAEvolveSample.com. Supplies are limited, so go to DNAEvolveSample.com right now.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. HempUSA.org introduces 3 brand new detox formulations of micro plant powder, brain fuel for depression, bipolar disorders, and stress. Total Care, anti-cancer agent that cleans the liver and organs and increases memory. Rejuvenate, invigorates and heals the body, mind, and spirit. These products are your alternative to pharmaceuticals. Call 888-910-4367 and like us on Facebook. We ship worldwide. Only at HempUSA.org.
We all know that they're not telling us the truth. So stand up for your rights, demand the real medicine, and your right to use it and grow it. This is Rick Sensen, and you're listening to American Freedom Radio.
The world is like a ride at an amusement park. And when you choose to go on it, you think it's real, because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored, and it's very loud. And it's fun for a while. Some people have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride. And we kill those people. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
What has American Freedom Radio ever done for us?
Provide us with free education?
Well, that's obviously a factor, but apart from reversing the dumbing down of America...
All the information they provide is free?
What about the free podium for broadcast activists to speak from, man?
Exploiting commonplace corruption?
They help vulnerable people who don't have a voice?
Bringing light to important information nobody else does.
Well, they never sent so hung up or cut off their guests.
Well, that's no fun, is it?
Oh, they created a fantastic alternative media source during an era of bad, manipulative, and infiltrated mainstream and alternative media shills and scum.
Okay, well, apart from the free education, free information, free podium for broadcast activists to speak from, exposing commonplace corruption, helping vulnerable people without a voice, bringing light to important information nobody else does, and creating a fantastic commercial-free alternative media source in a sea of bad, manipulative mainstream and alternative media shills and scum, what has American Freedom Radio ever done for us?
Donate to American Freedom Radio today.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics. No taboo topics. No fear of doom. No fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Okay, can we get quiet, please? Everybody sit down. Young man in the front row, spit that gum out. Thank you. Cherry flavored. And now, the moment we've been waiting for. The man whom we all know and have grown to love over the years. Who won the Nobel Peace Prize for making the largest flavored Jell-O shooter that the world has ever seen. And a great man of science who proved to us once and for all that no matter how much cherry-flavored Jell-O you put in your swimming pool, you still can't walk on water. I give to you, Chuck O'Kelly!
If you can't laugh at yourself, what the hell are you doing with a radio show? So the second hour of the O'Kelly Effect begins here on American Freedom Radio, which is where the live show originates from. Obviously, I do appreciate all the networks that replay the show later, and we are also carried live on Real Liberty Media on the O'Kelly channel. Anyway, all of these wonderful things aside... I now turn it over to a different hour. Yes, Barry will be with us next Monday, and that's the way that'll be. But I did not get rid of Sherry Wisdom, in case you were wondering. Sherry is still going to be with me, and in fact, we're going to get even more focused on Wednesday nights on topics that I think will be even more right up Sherry's alley than anything we covered. I mean, obviously, Larry Woods was an interesting discussion with Sherry, and, well, everything is an interesting discussion with Sherry, right?
Well, hi, Chuck.
Hi, how are you this evening?
I'm fabulous.
Fabulous. I love that. Anyway, Sherry has been an incredibly good co-host, that's for sure. We're just going to focus things on Wednesday. And besides, we wanted to give Barry a slot. So that's the truth of it. There's no hard feelings between me and Sherry or anything like that, in case somebody thought that. Okay. So, meanwhile, you know, just and just as the obligatory plug must go, of course, Sherry Wisdom is the host of Elemental Evolution, which is heard on Fridays here on American Freedom Radio, but is also heard on People's Internet Radio on Saturdays. And, gee, I can't keep track of the rest of the stuff you do, Sherry, but from now on, you'll be doing Wednesdays with me, and who knows what the future may hold. Is that accurate?
It is. You did it perfect. And I, I'm excited to always see what's going to happen next with you, Chuck. Excited may be a choice word at this moment.
Well, look, I'm not bringing you the high intensity, type of guest that we're going to have on Wednesday. I don't want to announce who it is just yet, but we are going to have an interesting 2 hours. On Wednesday, I assure you guys. So, especially if you're familiar with the history of this show and me as a broadcaster, you're going to find this extremely amusing. So, I have forewarned Sherry what it is. I don't know if she's gotten a chance to look at it, but let's not tell the audience just yet. Just tune in Wednesday because, you'll hear something that I promise you you'll hear nowhere else. And meanwhile, the other voice that you just heard chime in is our friend Dylan Wade. Now, of course, Dylan has been around the show for a couple of years now. And it's interesting. He had a talk show of his own. Are you doing another show yet, Dylan?
I'm not. I'm still trying to get one going.
Well, that's okay. Eventually, I'm sure you will. And, of course, Dylan is kind of the intrepid film reviewer that doesn't quite have a home for his reviews at the moment. Although, when he has some time and when I can, you know, get my head screwed on in at least one direction at one time, I'm going to create a facility at Ocelli.com specifically for Dylan to knock around his movie reviews. It may be that it's just him and I discussing movies, but the problem is, Dylan, I'm always too damn broke to go to the movies, so you and I may have to do DVD and Netflix reviews for a while.
That is perfectly fine. I have a long list. I have a long list of movies that I have to watch.
Well, good. Well, tell us what's on that list. Some of those things, because I bet you a couple of those things were added to your list by, well, the host of this show. So, what are
you've contributed a lot to that list.
Well, give people an idea so we get into, because obviously it's not going to be a typical film review kind of thing when we do this, but what is it that you're going to be looking at?
It's going to make me look bad as a reviewer. Jaws is one I haven't seen yet. I haven't seen any of the Godfather movies. I haven't seen Goodfellas. I want to watch all of those, and I've already got people who want to talk to me about all of those, so...
Well, especially because, you know, when you start doing some of the mob movies, believe it or not, I have talked to some of the real people that are portrayed in those movies.
I did not know that.
Henry Hill, for instance, the guy who Goodfellas is written about. Okay. An interesting guy, another interesting guy that I love so much, and I got to check in with him soon. I'm not sure what his condition is because I haven't spoken to him in a couple of years, is Brother Frank Minucci, who portrayed the mob boss that drowned to death off of the barge in Carlito's Way. I love that guy. And, of course, he was a former president of the Nomads, which is a particular splinter group of the Hell's Angels, and also well-connected to the mob. But these are the kind of friends I used to have, and and it's no wonder
different get some of those old connections back.
Well, you never know, but you know it's interesting because that was utilized for me to make interviews of allegedly mob connected people to the JFK assassination when they wanted to try and drag the Gambino family into the conspiracy theory. You're talking to the guy who destroyed that because it made no sense and they tried to put people in the wrong places at the wrong times. I literally disproved the Gambino connection to the JFK assassination. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get rid of the Marcello thing and a few other things, but, for the most part, you know, mob guys are connected to the CIA constantly and internationally, but I can't find a logical, complete, and reasonable connection to Kennedy's assassination through somebody who is just, well, an Italian businessman. I haven't been able to find it. I would love to find it, though, because then certain things would make a lot more sense. But anyway, I digress. It's good to have Dylan on, and you know why it's good to have Dylan on? Because as he stated there, you know, he hadn't seen some of these landmark motion pictures that are part of the historical viewpoint of Hollywood. The reason is, how old are you, Dylan?
Just turned 18.
Just turned 18. You see, and I was talking to this kid, I guess, what were you, 15 years old when we started talking?
Yeah, I think so.
And, you know, again, I love this guy. I know he's, you know, he's had an interesting trip through the Truth Speaks was his radio show. Some of those archives are still up on YouTube now, and in other places, although Dylan can't seem to find them. They are out there.
Find my YouTube archives.
Well, I have a couple of shows on my channel if you want, Dylan. You can steal those. Anyway, all of that put aside. So, Sherry, I turn back to you because I want Dylan Ben's very young perspective on this, although trust me, he is not sleepwalking and he's not playing Pokemon Go. This is not who he is, but he has an interesting perspective usually on these on these topics that emerge in the world. Where would you like to start, Sherry? Would you like to start with the Trump circus, or would you like to go to today's news in Ohio State, the alleged terrorist attack that has happened at Ohio at Ohio State?
I did a little research in both directions because I kind of laughed when you said Team Trump, but it exists, and I was surprised, but I went through it and I was kind of disappointed, but if you don't care, I wanted to ask Dylan if he has seen the movie Viewers. Is that what it's called? No, it's called Arrive. Arrive, that's what it is.
Are you sure it's not called Arrival?
Oh, yeah. See, God.
There's a new one. There's a new one called The Arrival.
I have seen The Arrival.
That's the one about the aliens that come and she's trying to communicate, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I have not seen it, and it was actually mentioned to me, but what I did is I watched the trailer, and because I'm into all that, I about crap my pants, but I would like to get your take on it, if you don't mind, real quick, Chuck, just because of his age and the point of view.
Yes, let's get Dylan's take on that movie, because I really want to see – this is one of those movies I want to see based on the trailer. They've hooked me, number one. But also I want to get to the phone callers right after. So if you could give a summation to Sherry about the movie, what you thought of it, et cetera, and we'll leave it wide open because you haven't seen it yet, Sherry, right?
No, all I did is watch the trailer, and I just can't wait to see it. But I'm kind of freaked out to see it too, so.
So you and I are at an equal disadvantage. So go ahead, Dylan. tell us a little something without completely spoiling the movie. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about it and what your view is.
The trailer did a disservice to the movie. The trailer made it seem worse than it is. I think it might be the best sci-fi movie I've seen in a long time. It's great.
I'm so glad to hear you say that because the person that told me about it kind of said the same thing, that the trailer was okay, that I would, you know, I didn't, that would be enough to get me interested, but that it was nothing in comparison. And that some of the things that she told me, mostly just because of discussions that her and I had before about my beliefs and what I think about who's coming and the alien races and all that stuff, which I guess was portrayed at the end of the movie, which I'm not going to say, but you know what I'm about? Maybe?
Yeah. They don't really go too in-depth with it, but
right.
The movie's mostly about trying to choose my words carefully. It's mostly about the language of this one race.
Well, so in that way, the trailer is not dishonest. It seems to be fairly accurate that
the trailer is dishonest, not in that sense. The trailer is dishonest in making you think it's a tension-filled movie. It's not. There's hardly any tension because I feel like until about an hour and a half into the movie, you don't appreciate a lot of what's happening. And then something happens in the third act that makes you appreciate everything before it a lot more.
See, now that might appear different to an older audience, to be honest with you, because we're not so accustomed to certain action-packed things that are just really commonplace nowadays.
It's
not action-packed
at all.
Well, but that's what I'm saying is that we're not accustomed to what is seemingly commonplace. You know, the Matrix in and of itself is still pretty revolutionary the way I look at it, but it's antiquated. Yes. But it's antiquated in its presentation now because a lot of these seemingly, you know, extremely well, just a singular, you know, only the Matrix did this techniques at the time are now extremely commonplace. You know, the slow motion, the changing perspectives, the camera that seems to move fluidly through the scene and stuff like that. Visually, a lot of these things really have evolved to a point where I think, you know, some of the subtleties of the older school filmmaking might not be appreciated by younger generations now. So it's possible this is a film that's not really designed for your age group. You think that? Or do you think it's just the script is written just in this way so that it's a large build-up to a crescendo?
No, I feel like it is how the script is written. Just not from – I don't gather that from watching the movie. I watched a few interviews with the script writer, and his whole thing was building to that big moment, and I'm still trying to choose my words carefully. Even the stuff, even without the big moment in the third act, I'd say the movie's brilliant, but the third act just adds another layer to it, to where it's been 3 weeks since I've seen it. I'm still deciphering parts of it.
Well, that's interesting.
That's what I like to hear, because that means that kind of what I was thinking is exactly right, and it probably will just spin me out. I think this is great. Thank you.
Yeah, very good. Actually, it makes me a little more hopeful, and hopefully one of us will get to see it, and maybe we can revisit it on the show and discuss it in detail. Oh, and you know, just when I go to the phone caller, he disappears. Anyway, 218-339-8525. I was transitioning out of the talk with Dylan so I could bring you on. So anonymous caller, by all means, call back in. And also that 702 number or 207 or whatever it was, whoever was calling in, just call back in. I'll add you in much quicker. It just took a minute because Sherry wanted to ask about the film. So I didn't want to break continuity there. Let's just continue on with the discussion, though. Anything else you want to add about the film, Dylan?
I want to add a lot more. I feel like one of you needs to see it first, but what I'll say is it's one of the more innovative sci-fi films in the past few years. It's revolutionary like The Matrix was, I feel like, in a story sense, not a visual effects sense, but in a plot sense.
No, see, tall order to me, because when you take a look at, let's see, what was that film with the library where the guy goes back in time?
Interstellar.
Interstellar. I thought that was actually innovative as a motion picture, although these ideas have been kicked around for a long time in many circles. I think that was an interesting presentation, and in the sci-fi genre still, that was pretty imaginative.
I love Interstellar. I really love Interstellar. It doesn't compare to Arrival.
Oh, not at all, huh?
Not even. The sci-fi aspects, yes, but the emotional core of Interstellar was sort of hollow, and it was sort of beaten over your head. Arrival does the sci-fi and the emotional core and blends it perfectly.
Okay. Well, then something to look forward to, right, Sherry?
I'm super excited about it because I think you just kind of – without saying a lot about it, I think you confirmed what my hopes were of the intention of the movie, but also that some people are seeing the same thing that I think I will see. Because that's what I've been talking about for the last 2 years. Anyway, I'm not going to get into the whole thing, but it seems like I'm getting ready to be spun out, and I'm excited about it.
Well, there you go. Go see it in theaters. Go see it in theaters. The visual of the aliens on a movie screen is great. I don't know if it'll even compare when it comes out online.
Okay. Well, I'd like to move along to another subject. What do you think, Sherry? Where would you like to go?
Well, I would like to hear your take on the Ohio terrorist attack, because it sure seems mighty convenient, and it sure seems like that a guy with a butcher knife getting out of a vehicle that just ran over a bunch of people, I don't know. It seems like either he's on Xanax or it's staged.
Yeah, okay. Gee, doesn't it seem that way? And isn't it strange also that this comes in the wake of the reality? And here we go. It's hard to decipher the reality from the TV show in a lot of cases, right? We have been treated recently to the idea that, although it's not very popular to even begin to back this in alternative media circles, I mean to tell you that there have been an uptick in reported attacks on ethnic people in this country. This has happened recently.
Is that really unpopular to say around here?
It really is, because...
I'm going to be in deep trouble then.
Yeah, quite honestly, what's happened here is that there is an extreme element in what we call alternative media, and here I go, I'm going to get in trouble again, I know it, but there's an extreme element in alternative media that leans toward the white supremacist side of things. It's just that simple.
I completely agree with you. That's sort of why I got out of this thing.
Yep, and my son just kind of joined me on the side here real quick because he woke up. But
I thought I lost you guys.
No, it was just me for a moment. But he's been wrangled. So I will say that no, this has been a reality, and it's unfortunate to me because this is not where I stand, and I don't know what to say. When you start to get into certain circles at this point, it's not to say that people who have been Trump supporters are racist, which has been pushed now by the left wing of this, you know, ridiculous paradigm. That is being pushed. That's not the truth. The truth is, though, that if you are a white supremacist,
it is for a portion of them.
Well, but hold on. The truth is, if you are a white supremacist, if you are extremely nationalist in your viewpoints, Donald Trump was your candidate recently. It's that simple. It's not to say that everybody that supported Trump is a racist. It's not to say that Donald Trump meant to be a racist. In fact, I think what he was doing was, here I go, I'm going to defend him for a second. I think that he was speaking directly to what he thought he could say because it was time to let go of political correctness and all that, which to some degree I can absolutely concur with. But
I'll argue that point.
Well, what? It's not time to let go of political correctness?
No,
oh, please
that,
do argue
not
with me.
That, not that point. The point that maybe he's not. Before he started his appointments, maybe I would have agreed with you. I probably would have, in fact. But the people he's appointing, Steve Bannon, obvious anti-Semite, Jeff Sessions deemed too racist to be a federal judge in Alabama in the 80s. I mean, he's still speaking to them.
Well, let's go to one of the phone callers right now before I lose them on the board and see who they are. Okay, so caller, I've gotten to you as quickly as I possibly could. You're on the air. Who am I talking to?
I go by the name Jim Lee in South Carolina.
Yes, sir. Jim Lee, how you doing tonight, sir?
Hey, Jim.
Better never want to fight about it.
Yeah, let's do it. Why not, Jim?
What's up, Barry?
Yep, Jim is saying hi to you guys, Sherry, and actually Dylan is on. Barry was on only in the first hour, Jim, but I have Sherry Wisdom and Dylan Wade with me tonight right now, and I was hoping for some other callers. They came and went off the board before I could get them on. So I'm not sure if there's a problem with the phone line or what, but you're proof that it does work. So anyway, I wanted to see what your thoughts were on what we were discussing.
I think that there's a fine line between believing that we are all one humanity and believing that borders are necessary. And my wife and I have this discussion quite often, because I certainly don't believe in the New World Order or one world government. And I also believe that good fences make good neighbors. And I think that too often, and I think that you're guilty of it, Chuck, because from what I'm just hearing, that to believe that a group of people should not be able to just enter en masse, and then they happen to be predominantly Muslim, you must be racist or nationalist. I think that that is an oversimplification. And I think that everybody's guilty of that. It's so easy to quickly cast the scarlet letter of racism.
I wasn't even addressing the Muslim situation just yet. I was getting there, but I didn't get to it just yet. The fact is that this has been overplayed on both sides of the equation, as far as I'm concerned. The people that want you to be in fear of everyone who happens to adhere to any religious faith are out of line, in my estimation. But also the people who tell you that there's absolutely nothing to fear from people that are different from you are foolish. There is a fine line between understanding that borders are necessary and that you need to protect yourself from those who would seek to do you harm. But in my estimation, and this is my opinion and probably doesn't necessarily represent anybody else who's talking tonight, but the fact is I feel as though for the most part this the Islamo-fascist boogeyman has been inflated by those who wish to use it as a tool. And I'm not necessarily saying that about Trump directly, but he has utilized part of it, and he's definitely taken advantage of that sentimentality. And I'm not saying that it's entirely wrong. There are people like that in the world, but most of the time I find that they're tied to, intelligence concerns. There are people paying their bills that you wouldn't think are paying their bills. You know what I'm saying? And stuff like that. And it just seems to me as though the motivations of they just hate us and there's a giant war on white people is not exactly as true as some people want to believe. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, real quickly, I'll counter you and raise you with, because of label whores and people who are very literal, for some reason, we would rather focus on terrorists who are brown people who live in the Middle East, which are far away from us, than the terrorists called the cartel that live on our border and attack us every day.
That's right. That's right. And the fact is, it's just more convenient because where does that, who actually benefits from those cartels, right? That's what the bottom line is. I mean, I've had even Celie Castillo on this program talking about how many banks would disappear and fold if they didn't have drug money to launder. I mean, that's the reality of the situation. There are people benefiting from us being allowed to be terrorized by those particular organizations, those criminal organizations, and therefore they are not mainly in focus. They do need to be dealt with, and we can't do it with the corrupted DEA. We can't do it with the corrupt Border Patrol, and we can't do it with law enforcement as it stands. It has to be done another way, and quite honestly, I would like to see all of it decriminalized right now, because that would end the whole problem in my estimation. But then again, I'm one of these extreme old school libertarian types. Not the libertarian of today, but the old school type. You know what I mean, Jim? Oh, we may have lost Jim. Did you want to say something, Dylan?
Oh, just that I agree with that last part. agree with that last part that you said.
Yeah, and he's got a great salient point, is that, people that are terrorizing individuals, through the facilities of the drug cartels are not focused on by those who want to whip up fear. They're just not, even though, quite honestly, this is who we should be worried about and concerned about. And if you want to talk about that sort of border control, man, I'm all for that discussion. You know,
I am too.
You know, but the problem is, again, that when we repeatedly see that the DEA, the CIA, the FBI are constantly being caught, being corrupted, being paid off. Actually, you know, when you do see a big drug bust on the borders, I've had more than one retired DEA guy pretty much tell me that those are gimmies, that those are basically the sacrifice that's sent through in that criminal system in order to in order to keep doing business. Now that's a whole different kettle of fish from, you know, gee, these guys worship a different God and therefore they hate us. Different narrative, isn't it?
If we're going to have that discussion, then I'm with you. I just don't like the discussion of we got to ban people based on their religion. I feel like that is dangerous.
Well, right. And in fact, that's the biggest problem here, is that the ignorant finger pointing at anybody is a difficulty. When we're pointing at individuals who are obviously involved in criminal activity, I'm looking at their activity. I'm not looking at their religious faith. I'm not looking at their ethnicity. Matter of fact, I don't care what color the drug cartel guys are. They are more violent, more dangerous, and more problematic to us on a daily basis than anybody. But again, how do you decouple the fact that it seems like over and over again, different people that are allegedly part of our government are caught dealing, distributing, making trades with, propping up governments that do nothing but, and of course the banks laundering and benefiting from all of that wonderful, commerce that takes place on the black market. That's the reality of it. So how do you actually contend with that? I'm not sure. Except, again, that if we were to, in a revolutionary fashion, simply say, look, drug prohibition has not worked, just like prohibition against alcohol did not work. This is a complete waste of time and resources, and how about we just decriminalize it? And, in fact, you could build whole new industries based on the fact that that was decriminalized and take it out of the hands of the black market.
Downsides to it.
Well, right. I didn't intend to talk about this topic tonight, but Jim makes a valid point. We don't even bother to face that part of the equation when it comes to immigration.
Jim just messaged me. You can add him through Skype. His phone died.
Ah, okay. Well, Mr. Bordop, if you can grab Jim Lee and add him, I would love to continue that discussion. But what thoughts do you have, Sherry?
Well, I think, again, that there's a lot of distraction. But I also think that there is something to the...
What's up, guys? My phone died.
No, we got you, Jim, and Sherry was in the middle of just making a point, though, so let's let her finish.
Go ahead.
And then I'd love to continue that discussion you and I were just having.
Well, my apologies for interrupting.
No problem. Go ahead, Sherry.
Well, okay, so the Quran, am I saying that right?
Quran, yeah.
Quran, I'm sorry. I wasn't sure what you were trying to say there.
I'm sorry. So to me,
Quran, yeah.
That's the only reason that religion comes into play in there being an huge influx of people that believe what at least we're told, and whether it's propaganda or not, I'm not sure because that's not something that I've really been exposed to, but I think that when you start to read about how it's okay to kill and how women and anything below and are, you know, sacrificed and you get to have 100 wives and, I mean, just all of these crazy ideas, if nothing else, it definitely makes it easy to target them as terrorists, in my opinion.
Well, look, it's a multifaceted issue, because the fact is that in the post 9/11 reality, we have been sold a bill of goods to some degree. If anybody disagrees with that, I don't know what to tell you. But the fact is that we've been constantly pumped with this idea that here is your enemy. And what is done in the course of propaganda during any psychological warfare operation, you dehumanize, demonize, and make sure to anthropomorphize the most evil things you can possibly imagine that are repulsive to a society in order to turn that society's sentiment against a group of people. This has been done forever in reality, okay? You know, we could look back at our own history and we could remember that, well, you know, Vietnamese weren't really human beings, okay? We can remember for the Japanese were not human beings. They were monkeys, by the way, you know, according to a lot of propaganda. The Germans, they were Huns. They were people that were supposed to be our enemy. So on and so forth, right? All the time, you're being told that, you know, these people are conquerors. These people are this. These people are that. And you're propagandized to not think of them as equal. They are more savage. They are more vicious. They are more insane in their ideology than we are, and so on and so forth. And I think that this operation has definitely been utilized, whether the perceived enemy threat is valid or not. Do we have a legitimate problem with many people in the Middle East? Years and years ago, when I discussed this with people from Lebanon, I discussed this with people from Syria, I discussed this, you know, long before the towers fell, folks. Their main problem, as far as I could tell, and this was common men, you know, businessmen and just working people, was that our support of the state of Israel is what made us the bad guy to them. Okay? And I find that to be something that may have been propagandized to them or may just be the reality. I would say that the perception at this time that this is the greatest threat to our country may not be valid. It's that simple. Are we making it that way, though, by our actions, by drone striking people, by torturing individuals, by disappearing individuals, by you know, not even respecting the rules of engagement in certain theaters of warfare in various locations? Yes, we are. We are now making that enemy come to fruition. But I don't think it started out that way. I think largely it was a propaganda operation that has now begun to take shape in the real world. Now, Jim, I don't know, maybe you disagree with me on this point, but I think this is a valid point of view, at least from what I can observe.
Well, I would, instead of using the term I would say dehumanizing. I think that that's more accurate to what I see going on, is that if you can take the human out of any group, then people are capable of doing the most horrendous things, like, you know, mass graves. Just, you can imagine the worst. So,
right.
Excuse me, my coffee just got stuck in my throat.
No, it's okay, but the collecting of body parts while you catch yourself, the collecting of body parts by American soldiers, this kind of thing was not done because American soldiers were savages. It's because they were taught that these people were not to be respected as human beings, right?
Exactly. Once you cross that threshold, anything's possible. And we actually crossed that. And this is kind of crazy because you think that people would wake up to this stuff long ago, but we crossed that threshold in this election on the mainstream media, you know, with the amount of propaganda they were putting out, all designed to incite the, you know, Hegelian dialect, left, right, you know, whatever you want to call it. But at the end of the day, it's that my group is human, your group is not, and I hate you people. And that's what's going on.
Well, that's about the most simple way to put it, but completely accurate. Yes, Jim, that's exactly what's been utilized. And what has been utilized, I say again, and what I consider to be the post 9/11 reality, because there was a paradigm shift after that happened, at least in this society that I could observe. Maybe I'm wrong, but I doubt anybody would argue with me here. You know, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I really don't have a fully, you know, built opinion on this. I kind of look at it very generally, and I see it pretty simply as, you know, people create boxes. They put you in the box. Once you are in the box, I know everything about you. And that is ridiculous. We all know that we are unique and special and that no box could ever contain any individual. Yet we're constantly taught to fill out, you know, black, white, other, you know, and if you're Spanish, press here, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, most of these boxes are, you know, ethereal. They're made up and they are used to, you know, check you off. You know, you're dehumanized because you are this group and you are treated special because you're this group. And at the end of the day, that's the worst part of it because, you know, people, they don't get that that's where it all falls apart. You know, once you allow everybody to be separated into these groups, if you're Republican, you hate climate, you believe climate change is a myth, and there are Republicans that believe global warming is real. I mean, as crazy as that sounds, but there are. So I don't know. I just see it that way that, you know, once you have these boxes, they're usually way too big and too broad, and they never accurately, you know, define anybody in the group, yet everybody's willing to go out in the street and say, I'm going to kill anybody who supported Trump because they must be a racist. You're a mind control idiot who believes in boxes.
Well, that's it. And I think you used a really great term at the beginning of the discussion, which was label whores. These people that are label whores, that's exactly what they live off of. That's what they survive on is the use of labels in order to categorize people and to put them in these boxes you're talking about. And, I think you're absolutely correct. What do you think, Sherry?
Yeah, I just hit it completely on the head. I think that another part of that, and maybe I'll ask you if you think that some of it could just be a lot of distraction to keep people from paying attention to what the true powers that be are really doing.
Okay, so I'm going to give you my perspective as a guy in Sumter, South Carolina. You know, I've lived in Nebraska, I've lived in Oregon, I've lived in Arizona, and I met a lot of racist people in those three states, and I really didn't meet any black people. And I thought that was really interesting. I mean, I was in Nebraska and there were rocks on the flatlands with swastikas on it. And I was going to an art college and people were saying the most racist, vile things. And I was like, I met one black family the whole time I was there. And I was like, what's up? But in my hometown, it's like 60% black people. You know, I'm in a red state and my freaking county was blue. You know, I never actually looked in the past, I guess. And I had this aha moment where I was like, wait a minute. If I've known forever that most of the people in my town were black, but I didn't ever do the logical leap that, you know, my whole town votes, Democrat. So that's kind of crazy, but regardless, we get along great. Because South Carolina has such a long history of black people and white people together. And I think that's evidenced by what happened in Charleston, you know, people up in the North riot, destroy their city, burn it down. People in the South go hug and go to church. And that's because I think that especially in South Carolina, I know everybody I know, we're all into history. You know, and history is all around us. That's because everywhere we look, there's a historical marker on the side of the road. You know what I mean? Every mile. because this is where the country was born. You know what I mean? In the original 13. And, so we're steeped in history and black and white people. So, you know, we don't have a lot of these issues that most people deal with. I mean, just straight up.
You know what's odd about that though, Jim, is I think it's a Southern phenomena because let's go to another one of the original 13, which Dylan and I know a little bit about, which is the state of New Jersey. right? Problem. You don't have that, you know, you have a definite interracial, landscape. Okay. But you don't have this calm that I do note in the South. The further I go into the South, the more it seems to be there, in fact. We don't have the same level of racial tension in North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, even, you know, in Georgia. We don't have that like we have it up in the North. And you can't say that New Jersey doesn't have a history of being racially mixed. You can't say that New Jersey wasn't here early on in the formation of the alleged states, you know, that are united, or should I say allegedly United States. Either way, you can't say that there shouldn't be tons of history there in New Jersey as well, which there is. There's plenty of monuments and markers and things named after people and everything else, and yet for some reason there is a higher level of tension, anxiety, and in fact you can have racial situations that erupt through simple transactions of social commerce up in a place like New Jersey. Down here, I don't get that same tension. Even when I've been in a place where the neighborhood was ostensibly, you know, 85% black, I didn't feel as though I was being targeted. I didn't feel as though there was a problem. If I had been in a neighborhood like that in Jersey, though, I had to be a lot more on my toes. I mean, that was the reality of it because, well, I appear white to most people. It's an optical illusion, but I do appear white to most people.
I'm gonna say something really controversial, but it's 100% fact.
Go ahead.
I have never been effed over by a black friend. I mean, in my entire life, I can say honestly, I've never been stolen from. I've never been cheated on, screwed around, lied about out of any black friend in my entire life. And that is rare that you can say something as broad as that. But I have had my white friends rob me, steal from me, lie to me, lie about me. And that's just, I mean, it's just a general thing, you know, that I can't explain. So,
well, yeah, I'll give you a weirder one. Oh, I can't, because I'll give you a weirder one. Although I will say this, I can't say that I have a completely clean slate if I were to separate people into black and white. There's not, I can't say what you just said. But I can say this. By far, the greater instance of betrayal, of theft, of physical confrontation of problems I've had or with people that would say they were of the very same race I am from. You know, that's where my problems always come from, is from white people. So, you know, it's an odd statement to make, isn't it? And, again, you know, real quick, Dylan, I mean, have I inaccurately portrayed New Jersey here or something?
I actually haven't noticed any of what you're saying, but it could just be the area I'm from.
You're just, you know what it is? You're so low key, man. Who the hell would want to pick on Dylan? That's what it is. I think that's really what it is. I might evoke animosity where you don't. Yeah.
I go undetected.
Dylan is covert in the race wars. Okay. I like that. That's beautiful. Sherry, your thoughts on this discussion going back and forth here, which I did not expect to have.
Well, I kind of feel out of place with it because I'm not really exposed to any of this.
That's the way a lot of people are.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting how when you're not exposed, even though you kind of know it's there, it's just not in your reality. And I don't, I mean, I have black friends, I have Hispanic friends, I have Oriental friends, I mean, or whatever, you know, I know all this, you're not supposed to say certain things, but anyway, I mean, I have friends of all colors and races, and I don't judge them by that, I guess, and I've had lots of people screw me over.
Yeah, I mean, really, and at the end of the day, if you're actually keeping a tally of what color the person was who screwed you over, you're an asshole. So what does it matter? You know what I mean?
I mean, that's kind of it. It's like,
that's exactly it. So, I mean, people really need to stop with the boxes.
Oh, I know. But that's the thing is, you know, I can't keep a tally, but if I had to say, you know, which among the races has been most detrimental to me in my life, if I had to categorically, you know, ascribe one of those broad labels, then I should be completely petrified of white people because they're the ones that cause me the most problems. I'm sorry. That's all I'm saying.
Like, so at the end of the day, like everything you learn about, you know, that's a stereotype that was taught to you in grade school on, it's just, it's all bullshit. It's to teach you that there's a boogeyman. He ain't human. He ain't like you and you should be scared and hate that person. And it's all just, it's BS, man. Move on. Love everybody. We're all human.
Isn't that the truth?
Well, guys, oh, I got to get back to coding some stuff, and I just wanted to stop in and say hi. I saw Dylan was on there, and I figured any chance to interrupt Dylan. Love you, brother.
Oh, man, the incredible Jim Lee, of course, climateviewer.com, climateviewer.org. I'm going
to my website again.
I have to. I mean, I might as well transition from Be Afraid of White People to Climate Viewer because it just, I don't know, it makes sense.
Be very afraid.
be very afraid of white people. ClimateViewer.com. All right. So, Jim Lee, no, beautiful points, man. And anytime you want to drop in on a discussion, I'd be more than happy to have you. So, and I'm looking forward to doing more shows with you as well, sir. Really great one. Yeah,
Love you guys, and you guys have a wonderful show.
Absolutely, man. We are getting low on time, though, believe it or not, and we had a completely different discussion than what I intended, as I said before. I find it fascinating what we're watching emerge. I do believe, though, that there are people that are so married to the idea that we require these labels, like he said, label whores. I think that's a wonderful way to put it, that are so attached to the idea that I have to slap a label on something and then conduct my life based on the labels I have now attached, is one of those things that, you know, gee, wouldn't it be nice if we could mature as a species, you know, if we could mature collectively as humanity, if we could mature as we the people and knock this crap off. What do you think, Dylan, considering you'll probably be on this planet long after me? What do you think?
I think you're right. I think sometimes labels fit, but why over Dylan?
Why over to Dylan?
No, why overdo it?
Oh, why overdo it? I'm sorry. I thought you were asking why I turned it over to you. No, you're right. Why overdo it? Exactly. The fact is we've got enough problems without allowing anyone else to manufacture them. We've got enough problems without allowing somebody to dictate to you who you're supposed to be afraid of. Why don't we learn from our own experiences and try to simply, oh, I don't know, breathe the same air, occupy this very same rock, whatever shape you think it is. How about if we try and do that as opposed to being at each other's throats?
By the way, it's a circle.
Oh, it's a circle now?
It's round, yes.
Oh, no, listen. Okay, so it's a sphere.
Yes.
Come on, basic geometry, Dylan, come on.
I was never that good at geometry.
A circle could be that plate shape they're trying to tell us about with the flat earth thing, and I'm just not buying it. It is spherical. It is spherical. I don't know if it's a perfect sphere, but it's spherical, I believe. Anyway, that's just me. Who knows? Sherry Wisdom, do you think the earth is flat?
Do I think what?
Do you think the earth is flat, Sherry Wisdom?
Oh, God, I don't want to talk about that. I just don't. Because, you know, here's the thing, is that I've been on both sides. Like, one point, I'm just determined that it's completely flat. I went there for a while. And then I was like, oh, my God, that's such complete and total BS. And then, so then I went, you know, kind of the complete opposite of, like, you know, finding out how it really is round and on and on and on. And then it just came back into my consciousness through Gaia TV and a bunch of other things about the flat earth. And I have no idea. I've never been up there. That's all I'll say.
There you go. And meanwhile, the creator of the three-day rule is going to say she just won't go there as to whether the earth is flat or spherical. Love it. But Dylan, in your opinion, it's spherical, yes?
We have no evidence to the other. All the evidence points in one direction.
No evidence to the contrary. So believe it or not, we're almost out of time, and it's been a weird night, that's for sure. Different considerations. I did leave it open to discussion. Glad that Jim Lee joined us. Of course, Barry Prince was with me in the first hour, and he will be the co-host on Mondays. Sherry Wisdom, though, will maintain her slot as co-host on Wednesdays, and who knows what the future may hold with that. Once Sherry is not necessarily as busy as she is today, we may find ourselves doing other work together, and in fact it might get a whole lot more esoteric. But anyway, keep that one in mind. Dylan, of course, we have the possibility of doing the film reviews coming up soon, hopefully through my website, and of course you're always welcome on this show as well. Want to thank everybody who decided to tune in. And Sherry, how about your final thoughts on at least this hour of the Ocelli Effect, and well, gee, the last Monday you're supposed to appear on for a while at least?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm glad to hear the conversation at least. If nothing else, I'm glad to hear that people are aware of aspects that maybe haven't always been in our consciousness. So I'm glad to see that happen.
That's right. So Dylan Wade, Sherry Wisdom, Barry Prince, and Jim Lee even joined us here on the Ocelli Effect. And you guys who were listening did as well. Sorry I didn't get to all the callers, but we'll do better next time. I will see you guys again tomorrow night with Intense Info Tuesday. But I'll tell you something, no matter what, I think you will be entertained in the post-truth reality. Stay tuned to American Freedom Radio, because whatever's coming up next has to be interesting. And I think there's a slightly newer show coming up, so stick around and give them a shot, too. I'll catch you guys tomorrow.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Are you feeling embarrassed and stuck because you can't focus or concentrate? I have a confession to make. I spent years unable to think clearly, like I was in a fog. I was going through the motions, running my companies, and I hated feeling groggy and mentally sluggish. I couldn't get ahead like this. It's no secret, the powers that be want us dumbed down. Chemicals, fluoride, our brains are under siege, and we are experiencing lower IQs. But now there's a weapon to fight back and win. Introducing DNA Evolve, a revolutionary breakthrough in a category of cognitive enhancers called nootropics. I've been using DNA Evolve and couldn't feel better. For me, it works. It feels great to get things done again and get ahead. Try a free sample for yourself at DNAEvolveSample.com. That's DNAEvolveSample.com. Supplies are limited, so go to DNAEvolveSample.com right now.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
We all know that they're not telling us the truth. So stand up for your rights, demand the real medicine, and your right to use it and grow it. This is Rick Sensen, and you're listening to American Freedom Radio.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship.
Or be quiet.
Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio and service to the community with strength, wisdom and loyalty. The founders of AFI wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio@ymail.com. Vaccines, psychotropic drugs, and artillery batteries not included.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics,
no taboo topics,
no fear of doom,
no fear of doom.
We are
American Freedom Radio,
American Freedom Radio.